Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. We are live in Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard coming up in this hour. We will get into today's Major League Baseball card in 15 minutes. Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of this great property, lifelong Detroit guy as well, on the show in 30 minutes. His takeaways from the Tigers selling at the deadline yesterday in Major League Baseball, Pauly. Also, big week here at the network. Our guide is out, our college football betting guide. I said yesterday on the air, because I didn't even look at like how many pages it was, but I'm like, oh, God, this thing is way over 100 pages. It's like 350. So, yes.
The big boy.
And it looks spectacular as always.
It is.
A lot of great stuff in here. Get it today. VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up for as little as $9.99. You're going to get Matt Youmans preseason top 50 previews for every single FBS team. That's 138 best bets, conference champs from hosts and experts here.
Yep.
At the network.
I love right at the top, you get right into the picks. Like who's going to win every conference, who's going to the Final Four. And then you start off with Youmans making a strong case for Fresno over their win total.
Sure.
It's great. What's the sports all about?
Yep. Get the top 50 in there. He went back and forth with Paul Stone. So they have different numbers, at least in the top 10 that he shared as well. And Paul Stone, professional bettor, he's coming on Thursday again to preview Pac-12 this week. He's been coming on every week now during the summertime to give out his best bets for these conferences. He ranked his top 15 college quarterbacks, calling it the year of the quarterback in the guide. I got to disagree with number one.
You're damn right.
I have to.
I just don't see it. I don't see that this guy, well, they're going to say the pedigree, whatever. I mean, it's not like Eli Manning was great. I mean, he just caught lightning in a bottle when they upset the Patriots both times and just the miracle catch and the throw to Manningham on the sideline. And Peyton's probably, top three all time, top five, whatever. But I didn't see it last year. There were improvements late in the season. But to think what the price is again, Heisman, and then he's just going to come in and dominate or be like a top pick in the NFL draft, I'm watching a different game.
Yep. So he's unbettable to me at plus 750 to win the Heisman Trophy. And Arch Manning is Paul Stone's number one quarterback. He wrote, perhaps the most polarizing figure in all of college sports. Manning began the 2025 season as the Heisman favorite, but he sputtered in September and quickly fell from grace. He did point out that from October on, however, he threw for 2,012 yards in the final eight games, 21 touchdowns against only three turnovers in that span. Here's where I'm at with Arch Manning. Because Paul Stone is far from the only person on the planet to make a case that he's the best quarterback in college football, he might win the Heisman Trophy, or he's going to be the number one pick overall in the draft. I saw that from draft people last year at the end of the college football season. If he came out last year, he should have been or would have been the number one pick in the draft. If you're right about Arch Manning, that's great. And if you're strong about him, look, tip of the cap to you. My thing is what Pauly just said. I'm sorry, but I need to see it a little bit more. It was such a small sample size. And was he dinged up? Maybe. Was the team dinged up? Absolutely they were. But man, oh man, based on the first season from Arch Manning, I got to see it unfold in 2026.
They're lucky they didn't lose more games, too.
Oh, for sure.
That's the other thing. But it's like what Mike Pritchard would always say. You take a quarterback, number one, it's a 50-50 shot.
That's right.
You don't know if the guy's going to pan out. I wouldn't take a lot of these guys high. Like, you think Mateer's going to be a good pro? Do you think Hoover's going to – Dante Moore? No way. I wouldn't take Moore top five.
Oh, neither
pick.
Would I. No
so,
chance.
So, I mean, the guy I actually think has the best chance at having a long career would be Chambliss. But I could be way off on that when it's all said and done. But I think the guy who can really excel at the next level out of all these guys would be Chambliss.
I don't disagree. I really don't. I mean, the age is going to be held against him. But I thought coming out last year, he was so good that Chambliss, had he done it, and did not try for another year of eligibility, I'm like, why should Chambliss not be number one overall? Do we know that Mendoza has to be the guy, number one? And Chambliss would be where I would start my power ratings for quarterbacks in college football this year as well. He was absolutely spectacular last year. Now, there's no more Lane Kiffin, but again, we talked about this earlier. Why is Lane Kiffin the be-all, end-all? Why is he the best coaching? Like, we're expecting this massive upgrade at LSU, and yet Ole Miss to kind of, like, not be who they've been the last couple of years because he's gone? Okay. I'm betting the opposite way on that. I got tickets on a positive, this tough schedule, but I think Ole Miss can be a playoff team again this year. So I would have him number one overall. I have not bet him to win the Heisman just because I'm going back and forth on 12-1 at that number. and Paul Stone has CJ Carr, number three overall. He was very good, but as we talked about with Aaron Moore yesterday, are the numbers really going to pop this year with Carr to like bet him for the Heisman? I don't think they're going to. Their defense is going to be so good, and they have a very manageable schedule. They might just pound teams and take the foot off the gas.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely in play. How about Mensa? I mean, this is a guy who's tricky, which I know Dustin has Heisman bets, and I asked Brad Powers on air, who's better, is Mensa or Beck? And he said, good question, hard question. Mm-hmm. 34-6 touchdown INT ratio last year, but now you come in with all this talent. You have Fletcher and Tony.
Sure.
And his star wide receiver, who had 1,000 yards, joins him from Duke? I mean, maybe he's way too low at 10, and maybe they go 11-1, and he has some monster games and puts up ridiculous numbers. Because the thing, they had big numbers there, too, with Beck, but Beck had a ton of interceptions.
Sure.
Beck was more managing the game, too, at times.
I'd like to ask a follow-up to Brad Powers then.
Beck was terrible in the SMU game.
Yeah, he was. How close is Mensa to Cam Ward?
Okay, maybe that's better. He also killed him in the Louisville game.
Because if
with the turnovers.
Yeah, sure. And if he's close to Cam Ward, in the opinion of some pros who do this, you know, for a living, well then sign me up to win the Heisman. Because what you just said, they should win 11 games this year in that neighborhood. And if that's the case,
perhaps, you're right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
The comeback is then you're going Tulane. Right, and then Duke, 34 touchdowns, but now you're coming up to Miami.
Right, right.
Maybe the knock is about step up in competition or who you're playing, and the bright lights are on you every single game, but I think he's in for a big year. He had 4,000 yards passing.
I'm glad you brought this up, by the way. Like last year, the whole talking point about Dante Moore potentially going back to Oregon, well, he doesn't want to be a member of the Jets. Why would the Jets have to take him at number two overall? I thought that would have been a complete reach. Are we positive that Dante Moore, forget the college level for a second, he's going to be a franchise quarterback in the NFL? Like, why does that have to happen? I heard Kazarian talking about this here whenever it was on VSiN within the last 10 days. He's like, I'm not a fan of Dante Moore. I'm like, thank God somebody finally said it. I think I was on vacation. I'm like, I'm not either.
Well, remember the J.J. McCarthy hype?
Yeah.
This guy's going to be awesome. Everyone's sleeping on him. He's going to be great for the Vikings.
Yeah. He's a fine quarterback on a team that is absolutely loaded to the gills. Does that mean I want to bet him to win the Heisman or I think he's good? No, it does not. What do you think about Marcel Reed? So the kid is obviously a two-way threat, dual threat quarterback. Gets it done both ways. But we pointed out earlier, the top 25 was released today. And a team ranked in the top 10 has finished unranked every single year but one the last 23 years. Paulie and I agreed with this without even talking about it before the show. We think that team's going to be Texas A&M. If we had to take a flyer on which team that would be, they're ranked, what, eighth in the preseason poll today?
Yeah.
They get Texas and Tennessee at home. They get all their other big ones on the road. That would be the team I would look at.
It's a tough way to end the season. Tennessee at Oklahoma, Texas.
Yeah.
And Texas got them last year. Mm-hmm. Damn, that's tough. That's not bad where he has them. He has them at 12. I'm okay with that. But they took advantage of a soft schedule, and they got the incredible win against Notre Dame, which but great job. They scored 41 points in South Bend. I can't get the Miami game out of my mind. That was horrendous.
Yep.
Couldn't get a first down, couldn't move the ball. The silly interception at the end of the game. I mean, that's just like you watch. They could play eight quarters. I don't know if they're going to score a touchdown.
No, you're right.
How bad they looked.
Yep. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers was on Pat McAfee's show on ESPN. He was all over the map, very opinionated on everything. He's setting up his post-playing career, no doubt, right, to be somewhere in media.
Well, I don't know. Who knows with this guy?
He's a little off his rocker, I would say.
Loves Fauci.
Big fan. They're best friends, I think. But this is in terms of our world when it comes to a betting racket and betting on this stuff. I'm actually glad that he brought this up. He got into the whole Diana Russini, Mike Vrabel scandal and MVP voting.
What is the network doing? Like you have literally an individual that maybe used to work at ESPN that covers our league at the highest level, and there's a major scandal, and it's just like nobody can talk about it? What are we even doing
personal
here?
Personal lives are personal lives. I feel like you of all people should know that.
I understand, but if it's affecting certain things, if there's leaks going on, if there's tampering going on, if that person is also an MVP voter and a Coach of the Year voter. Remember when I won MVP in 2021?
Yeah.
And that bum in Chicago?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's real life.
I'm glad he brought it up.
I won't vote for this guy. I think he's a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah. It was held against him from a voter in 2021 because of the whole he would not get vaccinated. And that voter said in August that year, doesn't matter what he does, I'm not going to get my vote. That's completely unfair as a voter to say that. Can't have that opinion.
Well, I think that this might take as long as the Kawhi aspiration investigation.
Well, but what's nothing's going to take that long.
With Rossini about what it does. He is on to something there, though, too, about did she give May an MVP vote because she's fooling around in sexual favors with the coach?
Sure. I'm here for all of it.
Yeah. And how far does it go back? But did she swing votes? And
yep.
I
don't know, Paul. But he said it's not covered there. He was like blaming ESPN. I'm sure that they were thrilled to have that on their airwaves yesterday.
Well, what are they supposed to do, though? How do you go back and the New York Post, there was something every day about here's pictures of them in a casino.
I know.
Here's pictures of them at a bar. It's right. Like, okay, we got it. We've established that they had a relationship and she cheated on her husband. And she traded sexual favors. I don't know if she works again. But how you want to do it and cover it every single day. I think people got sick of it.
Well, I'm sure they did, but he brought it up again where it matters to us. Comes to betting on this stuff. We'll dive into tonight's Major League Baseball card coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Derek Thiem is in the studio coming up in 15 minutes. Not only owns three casinos here in downtown Las Vegas, lifelong Detroit fan. His thoughts on the deadline yesterday. Sellers! Scooble on Saturday night, and then Casey Mize right at the buzzer going to San Diego. Former Padre Cody Decker was on with VSiN Primetime last night. Very opinionated on the sport of baseball. Does a radio show in L.A., comes on with Tim and the boys and Matt. Occasionally throughout the baseball season, I was driving around going home last night listening to this, and there was a great payoff because I'm like, what the hell is this guy talking about when Tim asked him about what the Brewers did at the deadline?
Man, you know, I'm glad they've stood pat. I'm against all you guys. I'm glad the Brewers didn't do anything too crazy. They got Dustin May, thought that was a very nice pickup. He might be a problem when it comes to October, but at the end of the day, yeah, I'm thrilled the Brewers are sticking to their recipe that is proven year in, year out to win championships. This is a championship team year in, year out, and they've never, ever changed a single thing. And why would they?
They
keep winning championships.
They haven't won a championship.
What was that?
They haven't won a championship, Cody.
You mean like this current run? They have a history of championships. Why would they change anything?
They don't. They've never won a World Series.
They've never won.
Never.
Oh yeah, this was bad then. Then I'd say this was bad. I would say continuing the same thing is bad. I take back everything I said. I'm sorry. I'm being a little misinformed. Based on what you were saying, yeah. Why change a thing? It works. Oh, look at all the rings.
Yeah, I love the bit. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was on Main Street driving home. Like, what is he saying? And then I go, hold on a second here. Yeah, very good.
Well, so there's a lot of this and people are upset. And the Dodgers have had to deal with it as well. So it's, you know, why did the Tigers do this? Why did they take that in return? Where are the other teams? Step up, do something. Come on. Like Baltimore a couple of years ago, the Brewers still... missing out as well. Dave Roberts was asked about the Dodgers ruining baseball.
We'll get that in a second here. Now,
because they asked Scooble, they asked him, they asked Freeman. And everyone, I've heard this from, seen it multiple times by people, that the Dodgers are ruining baseball. Here's Roberts being asked about it yesterday.
It just seems like there's always blowback with us. People are passionate. We feel good about it. There's nothing that we did that no one else couldn't have done. You know, I just laud our front office. We have to have the players to be able to pull something like this off. And, you know, we still got, you know, arguably one of the top two or three or one or two or three farm systems in baseball, you know, a day later. So it's a credit to a lot of people in this organization. Thanks, guys.
Well, two-time world, they won it back-to-back, trying to go for the three-peat and say, okay, Yamamoto, Ohtani, Glasnow, Snell coming back. We need more. Got to put us over the top. And why Detroit took that deal, I'll never know.
I know.
Which ESPN gave him a grade of a D.
Well, Paul, again, like, as a Brewers fan, I'm a little bit bitter because, again, some of the reports came out and said they offered more. Who knows? I still haven't heard what the official offer was. I don't
get the Red Sox giving up that
for
Rutschman, and then this is what Skubal went
Neither
for.
Do I, but I don't blame the Dodgers. I don't. I think it's a total farce what fans have been told by their owners for decades in this sport. Oh, poor us. We're a small market team. We can't make it. Yeah, you can. You're all billionaires. And first and foremost, the Tigers should have been discussing an extension with Skubal for the last year and a half. And to punt on having this guy?
I agree.
Horrible job out of them.
Yeah.
So it's maybe if the lockout happens next year, that's going to be the best thing to happen. And then other teams will actually up their game because the A's are moving here, folks, to Las Vegas. I wanted nothing to do with this team moving to Las Vegas. And this is coming from someone who rooted for the A's when they were in Oakland. Because if they come here, and it feels like they're changing their whole philosophy a little bit because they were not sellers yesterday and they pointed that out, well, we're building for the future. Well, you need to be because you're moving to a new city that's building you a brand new stadium. They can't possibly come here and have that same attitude in previous years of, well, we got awesome talent and they're going to get good for the first couple of years and then we're going to bail on them and trade them for other. Just like, what are we doing? Don't want that anywhere near Las Vegas. So there's got to be a whole thing of, yeah, we can go out there and sign our guys and keep them and then put together teams like that are going to be competitive with other teams like the Dodgers.
Well, yeah, they go for it and they try. And I know if you're a Yankee fan, you got to be livid and say, why doesn't Cashman do that?
I know.
I mean, you got the Yankees with their drought since 2009, which is unacceptable. And then again, what did he do at the deadline? Garcia had a home run yesterday, but they needed some help too. And you lost in the World Series to the Dodgers, but then these guys just look around and say, not good enough, let's add something, and maybe another piece or tweak here. And it's an embarrassment of riches, but that's what the Yankees were, though, too. Why did the Yankees get away from that?
Sure. Well, the old man died.
That too. But it's also someone's got to step up and say, this is unacceptable, and let's get back to being the Yankees and dominating and having a stacked roster and also having that core group. And being having a great farm system, and they said the same thing about the Yankees in the late 90s and the early 2000s.
Oh,
not fair, too good, ruining sure. baseball. Not
well, but who has better job security than Brian Cashman?
I don't understand. I know
nobody.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense. With this drought.
Yeah. How about he comes out then? We had talks about Adley Rutschman. Sure, great. You picked up the phone and had one small conversation. You didn't make the deal. That's the bottom line. Did the Red Sox overpay? Absolutely they did. But somehow, some way, the Red Sox have realized, well, this thing is real. Why don't we go for it? The Yankees aren't going to do anything. American League is wide open. We're as good as any of these teams. Maybe we can steal a World Series this year again. I don't think the Red Sox had this in the plans 2 months ago.
They got out of control. I mean, remember, then they also had a lot of swings and misses. Kevin Brown, Arabu, Randy Johnson, who's the guy? Carl Pavano.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were so many guys that didn't work out where Kenny Rogers, all these busts, but they would throw all the big money and sign these guys
right.
and it would just blow up in their face. But it's just, I know it's outrageous to see minus 130 to win the National League and plus 150 to win the World Series. But Phillies could have beat them and the Blue Jays definitely blew it.
Sure. Well, when you think about that look ahead number and they were minus 110, it keeps growing now just to win the National League here. Because when right now they're on pace to get a top two seed, which means the Dodgers would get a bye. And then think about the team that they would have to beat to get to the NLCS and then probably play the Brewers. Chris Bennett came on, who is the sportsbook director here, does all the baseball numbers at Circa last week, and I asked him a look-ahead price on that series. I said, if the Brewers get Skubal, if they get Skubal, give me a price, Dodgers home field against the Brewers. And he said, roughly $1.80 for the Dodgers. And I said, what about like a game one, Yamamoto's hosting Mizorowski? It was a little bit higher than $1.30, he thought, was maybe the number. But that was with the Brewers getting Skubal. Not only did that not happen, but the Dodgers did.
Yeah. I go back when we had Dave Stewart in studio, though. Look at those Oakland A's teams. I mean, they lost in five to the Dodgers, and they got swept by the Reds. They only won one World Series, I think, with all that talent. And that was an embarrassment of riches. You still got to go out there and do it. And even though it's a joke, with what you see how much talent they have, and if a payroll would help, and fans would stop complaining. But there's also too many owners who just say, I'm going to take the easy way out, pocket the money, and I'm just going to put a half-assed product on the field.
That's exactly right. They don't care. They have, I don't know, 20 other businesses that are, you know, they've built their empire with. So if you're talking about this being around Pick'em now, maybe a little bit heavier than that, how about building parlays around them and the links? We did this earlier in Pizzeria.
You want to go National League with links to win it? Or some college football winners?
Yeah.
Conference title winners?
Could the Rays beat the Dodgers in a seven-game series? I guess the answer is yes, because the Blue Jays almost did last year. The Yankees at full strength, could they beat the Dodgers? Yeah, probably. But maybe just build it to win the NL, links, and yeah, there you go. How about, you want to go heavy chalk here?
Are the Rams ruining the NFL? I mean, it looks like Donald's going to come back and play.
Yeah.
I mean, some teams go for it.
Sure they do.
It's hard to win, and a lot of times, sometimes the talent doesn't work out, or it's difficult to do.
That's the other team I was going to bring up. How about building some cross borders with the Dodgers, NL, Lynx, WNBA, Rams, either NFC or Rams to win the title?
A lot has to go right, too.
Well,
Stafford's
got
to stay healthy.
Yeah,
Dodgers have to stay healthy. Can Ohtani pitch? He was awful in the World Series against the Yankees, who had the injury that hurt him, though, too. But you got to go against the Miz maybe three times, though, in a seven-game series.
Maybe.
And even though he could only go five or six innings, it's sports. Weird stuff happens.
How did the Brewers set up their rotation now in a seven-game series? Miz, Harrison comes back. Miz in game three.
I think I got to go put Henderson in there.
You got to go Logan Henderson. He might go game two, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Depends on what kind of form Harrison's going to be when he comes back.
That was a struggle. That Philly series was right there for him.
Sir.
All low-scoring games.
Yeah.
One mistake, a play here, a play there, they win the series.
Yeah. Derek Stevens on the program coming up next. He is a Detroit guy, for those who don't know. Does he feel robbed by the return for Tarek Skubal? And overall, his thoughts about what they did getting rid of him and Casey Mize at the deadline. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Time now for our weekly visit. Derek Stevens joins the program now, owner of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and the D here in downtown. Good to see you again, my man. How are you today?
Great. Great to see you guys.
Also a lifelong Tigers guy from the area, obviously. Overall, your thoughts on the haul that they got for Tarek Skubal on Saturday night?
You know, in the American League, the Detroit Tigers have the second best run differential in the entire American League right now.
Yeah, they do. Right now.
They're selling. You know, losing Mize, and I can see losing Skubal, and I think there is a little bit of a change of heart on the fan base with Skubal, but losing Mize kind of hurt people a little bit. Hell of a deal that A.J. Preller pulled off again for the Padres.
Yes.
But I guess you could say maybe the Tigers got something that come 2 months from now, something's better than nothing. But we'll see. I mean, it's not over with. I mean, they're 2.5 games out of the wild card, right?
Yeah.
And now you bring Max Clark up, adds a little spark to everything. Things are changing.
Oh, you loved your prospects when we asked about it last year, too.
And look at Mel might be one of the best pitchers right now. Awesome. As hot as you could. What a price you can get him at tonight.
I bet him tonight. I had to.
Yeah. I was like, okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand the frustration because you're on a 32-20 run.
Yeah.
How solid they're playing. And then, but I guess you could come back and say you could still sign him, though, after the season's over.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think that'd be in the cards. I mean, that number is just so big. You know what I'm upset about? I'm upset with? I'm not even a fan. I just wanted them to get him because I would have really enjoyed baseball, this playoff run in October a little bit more. I really wanted the Brewers to get him. Now, I thought the Brewers farm system was so good. I thought the Tigers might have gotten a bigger haul. But Brewers, I mean, Milwaukee prospect huggers. These guys.
Yes.
So we played a soundbite from a guy who covers the team yesterday. He was on a podcast. I also had a text message from somebody else right away on Sunday morning. They said the same thing, and they don't know each other. And that is, I'm hearing the Brewers offered a better package than what the Dodgers did.
Yeah, that's what they're all saying. Well, wait a second. Well, what? Something doesn't add up here with this story. Something does not add up. Why would the Tigers take a worse package with the Dodgers? I mean, what's the conspiracy theory here?
Would this be to prove a point next year, the lockout?
Well, why would the Tigers fall on the sword for that one? I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have got Andrew Fisher, you could have got, you know, we're not talking about the number one prospect, but you could have got something better, I would have hoped.
Mm-hmm. I hated the return. Derek hated it. For Tarek Skubal, what'd you say earlier about
ESPN
prospects?
ESPN gave him a gave him a D. But you go back, I'll get it in a second. Since 25th, one second.
It's more than a decade.
I got it.
It's like 70% of prospects. Yeah, here you go.
70% of prospects traded at the deadline since 2015 have a negative WAR or have not made the majors, courtesy Baseball America.
Yeah, I you know, the Dodgers have done a heck of a job propping up their prospects.
Yeah,
you look at the last
have.
10 years worth of prospects. They're still prospects.
It's all
or
propaganda.
They're retired.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
It is propaganda. So, I don't know. You know, losing Skubal, guy won two Cy Youngs for Detroit and out. But I really would have liked to have seen him and Mizrowski as a 1-2.
Oh, God.
That would have been a lot of fun.
Yes.
Well, how about booking this now? And where you guys went to minus 130 on the Dodgers to win the National League. Outrageous.
Well, what are they supposed to do?
I mean, I never see this again.
Put up offer like 3-4-1. See if people want to bet that number.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure you bet it at 3-1, right? I mean, it's lousy. But the one good thing about it is that unless you're a diehard Dodgers fan, is there any team you dislike more than the Dodgers now? I mean, it reminds me of like in the early 80s, how everybody didn't like the Yankees. It's kind of like the same thing right now, I think, about the Dodgers.
And the 2000s. That's
90s, 2000s, yeah.
People hated them and what Steinbrenner did. We haven't seen you in a while. I haven't, at least in a month. So what's going on? You're on a record pace with the contest. Let's start with Survivor. Where are we at? What are we looking at for pace-wise?
It started kicking up. Went to a new gear about a week ago. We're pacing now. It's hard for me to say it because, you know, you got to figure you're not going to be able to keep this pace up at some point. But we were running at about 40% above, you know, last time I saw you. Then it's ratchet. Now we're running 45, 50%, 55, 60.
Oh, boy.
As of yesterday, we're 63% above.
Wow.
So the percentage keeps going up. Groups are coming in left and right. These emails I'm getting are unbelievable about, hey, I'm gonna fly into town. I played in Survivor last year, had a couple of entries, but I had a good time. One of my entries made it to December. I talked to all of my buddies about it, and we're gonna wire you in $300,000 because I'm bringing out 30 of my buddies. We're all gonna come out. We're all going max in.
Wow.
Send us. We need to have 30 hotel rooms. We want to ball out at Stadium Swim one night. And like, holy smokes. I mean, new customers. That's pretty cool.
Wow. Okay. So
a lot of big numbers that are going to be coming in here. I also think I keep asking people, like, what makes you excited about it? Because, well, we heard about it last year. There's a little bit of a snowball rolling. And then the thought process comes up about, well, we know where our money's at. I mean, you know, our this is a, we're not messing around with a couple million bucks anymore. I mean, this is a hell of a lot of money to have at risk. You better make sure that your man can pay you.
Yeah. I mean, no kidding.
And in Vegas, you know, I mean, you kind of know where we're at. We're not running away from anything. And in Nevada, all these funds have to be bonded. A lot of people don't realize that. We're the only ones that have to be bonded. So let's just say I get hit by a car. Let's say the company, all hell breaks loose. The money here is bonded. It's safe. It's like FDIC insurance, effectively, at a bank. No one else is like that. So I think there's, as these numbers get bigger and bigger, the safety you're getting paid is more and more important.
Ah, great point out of you there. So, by the way, I hope the network has something to do with that, the popularity of it.
Absolutely.
And also the show that you guys have made now for three or four consecutive years.
Absolutely. There's no question. People love watching VEASAN. We're talking about it. It's been a lot of fun talking about it throughout the years.
Yep.
You land some new customers, they get interested, and then the snowball keeps rolling. So it's pretty cool.
Once you get a taste of it, you're going to want to, like, that group, that's how you're going to want to operate. It's like, now I need to get 10, and I need to tell all my buddies about it, and we need to go to Las Vegas all together and sign up for the max entries. So how many are you doing per day right now? Because the week that week one gets here, aren't you guys doing like 1,000 or more every single day?
Yeah, like for the last couple of days leading up, it might be 1,000 or more. But right now, we're normally doing about 100 a day. And the last couple of days, we've done over 300. And today's a monster.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's not posted yet. But okay. It's been a monster.
Are you going to see this with Grandissimo, you think? People reaching out to him, maybe can you get to 100?
I don't know. Could be. I mean, we had a Grandissimo today. I know we got next 3 days, we got one lined up every day. So it's good. So momentum's good. I think football, people are chomping at the bit now.
How many are you expecting overall from, because you're going to get some stragglers from Bet Bash, are you not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, having Bet Bash here. I mean, a lot of people that are coming to Bet Bash, they're utilizing this trip as their trip to sign up. So should be good. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
You said this on air. You go to the movies just to get the popcorn and then you leave. And that was a very popular opinion. It's a testament to the popcorn, how good it is.
Yeah.
It is the extra good. Butter?
How yeah.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Now there's a couple ways of doing it. And I tell you, like, because we live next to the Suncoast, you know, right across the street. So I like to go pick up a couple big popcorns. Don't necessarily butter it, though.
Really?
We take it home. And Nicole and I, we fire up some butter on our stove. We got the hot butter going right on. And she really prefers to watch a show like in our living room.
Oh, what a move.
So we have the hot buttered popcorn right there.
That's a pro move right there is what that is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you got so many options with the streaming.
Yeah.
And all the great shows are out there.
Yeah. Netflix has been on fire.
What do you like?
What's good? Yeah.
We kind of like these mystery thriller like type of shows. Lioness was pretty good.
Good start.
Like we are getting a lot of feedback that season 3 is unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah, it was a good start. Yeah.
Okay.
Good
okay.
Start. Yeah. It's a good show.
I recommend the agency too,
season 2.
Yeah. So we got a lot of movies. Like we're watching Berlin now. We're going to put that one down. The new season just came out.
Okay.
I've always enjoyed that.
All right, I got to catch up on that. What's the one on Netflix where did you watch the ship? The ship that sank? It was a true story?
No, I didn't see that yet.
That one's very popular on Netflix as well. The captain went...
The Titanic?
I think it's in 2012, where they abandoned ship and he hit some rock and it took him 3 days to rescue him. It was incredible. It's on that. I recommend that one. Very good.
Hey, I'll see you guys soon. My schedule a little bit in and out. My daughter's getting married in a few weeks.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to be back and forth to Detroit a couple times here. But we'll be around.
You just had it with the son.
My son got married in April. My daughter's married in August. Yeah.
It's a 1-2. That's a nice 1-2 combo, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, enjoy the next couple of weeks and getting ready for that. Thanks, Derek. Good to see you.
All right.
We'll get to our best bets with in-pocket plays coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
The guy has an album. algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
Shipwrecked. Nightmare at Sea on Netflix. Documentary that happened January 13th, 2012. 4,000 people aboard the luxury cruise ship. And the captain went rogue. Decided to treat a crew member to a sail-by salute where the staff member's family lived. Miscommunication turned into a nightmare where the luxury liner hit a rock reef off the coast of the island.
Yeah,
and the nightmare, look at the picture. Look at the picture when it hit the boulder and what happened.
Oh, my Lord.
It's incredible theater. It's a great documentary on Netflix. I highly recommend you check it out. And I think it took 2 hours before the captain to say abandon ship. What was he on? It's incredible. You got to watch it. Highly recommend it. That's a heady move. Because there's so much stuff with Amazon Prime and Netflix and Paramount to say, I'm just going to go across the theater, go to the theater, get the popcorn, sure, bring it back home and watch my show.
Well, every night at your house could be like night at the theater.
Yes, good.
Then.
Absolutely.
Enjoying the popcorn from the, because theater popcorn is always, unless you get there late for like a midnight showing, it's always going to be like awesome popcorn.
It is. So good. Have to get it. When we were talking about movies, I think it was one of the best lines or unexpected events in the history of the show. When we asked Jimmy Vaccaro, what's the last movie you saw that he said Star Wars 1977?
Yeah.
Like, how could that be your answer? Like, you never get excited about it? Oh, I have to go check this out. Look at the reviews.
Text him. Let's see what he thinks about Odyssey.
That was his answer like 5 years ago. Incredible. The Phillies hit a grand slam in the seventh. So that's daily special prop bet lost. There was only 8 games. And then the fourth quarter died in the Liberty game. So that comes to an end. They had played 7 straight overs and 10 of 11. They did their part as they've scored 90-plus points 6 games in a row. But the teams combined for only, I think, 32 points in the fourth quarter. But the overs roll on in the WNBA as the other 2 games went to the moon. And that's going to be, this Phoenix team's going to be fun to watch with Plum as well.
You know who'd be good about that? And his spot obviously books it. I'm willing to bet that Johnny Avello has watched the Odyssey. Because DraftKings, they already have the odds listed as well.
Yeah, I know. And I said, it's going to win. And the first thing I did is I looked after I left the theater what the odds were.
Right.
It was 2-1. Now it's -165.
Right. Right.
It's 50% on Kalshi.
Yeah.
But he's a movie guy, yes.
Sure. Well, last night, boy, the perils of betting baseball, huh? Astros went off about $1.45 favorite, so about 20 cents of closing line value in the first 7 innings alone. They had 14 runners on base, 10 hits, 4 walks.
Scattered, all singles.
They scored 1 run.
Oh, man.
That is very difficult to pull off. They lost 3-1, so that was a losing bet for me, unfortunately. Other stuff that we talked about yesterday got there, Cubs and also the Aces. Those were good. Tonight, talked about this several times today on the show. Man, oh, man, you're going to give me Melton with the Tigers at plus money against the Mariners? They're the second best team in baseball the last 2 months. They're 32-20 right behind the Red Sox. Melton's numbers are phenomenal. He's got the best ERA in baseball going back. They have won, 9 of 11 starts out of him. I'm getting him plus 111 for the game and plus 105 in the first 5. Had to bet those numbers.
Got to be frustrating if you're a Tiger fan. 32-20 since June.
Right.
And you punt.
I did bet them at plus 790, by the way. That number did move a couple of dollars to make the playoffs. I was hoping they didn't keep Mize for that bet. That was after they traded Scooble. They didn't. Now, how does that 1-2 comp? Again, like his point, though, Derek's point, they have a plus 63 run differential, which is second best in the entire American League. Craziness. And I'm also on, I think this could be a series where we're looking back like, yeah, Rays pounded the ball. This happened in one series specifically last year when the Rockies, they were way worse last year than they are this year, but the Rockies hosted the Blue Jays. Blue Jays went there and scored like 40 runs in a 3-game series. It was like every single. I think that might happen with the Rays. Did it yesterday. Caminero, 2 home runs. They scored 13. I bet their team total over 5.5 tonight. I laid 38 cents with that. Other books, it's kind of like an alt number, but other books had 6 minus 115 or 6.5 tonight with juice. So You can still find 5.5, I believe, at around minus 138 tonight.
Circa Survivor documentary heating up. Tomorrow's episode is called The Turning Point. In week 5, for the first time in Circa Survivor history, the number one pick of the week goes down in flames on a Thursday night, and the chaos that follows is unlike anything the contest has ever seen. By the time weeks 6 through 9 play out, the contenders separate from the pretenders, and the pressure gets real. $18.7 million on the line. Watch the next episode tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. You want to catch up? Episodes 1 and 2 are on YouTube right now. Just search VSiN Live. I'm with you with the Rays and fastball, Freddie. His incredible numbers, a 1-2-3 ERA and 5 starts and cores, and they should get to Hughes again tonight. Also, we missed one with Caminero, a home run prop.
I know.
His price that he was as well. I don't know about tomorrow, though, because Sagano is the most profitable pitcher in all of baseball. You're up almost 14 units if you bet that guy every start and how well he's pitched for the Rockies. And speaking of which, Rodriguez is number 3, and he goes for Arizona tonight. They're down to $1.12 at DraftKings. They're 17-5 when he starts, almost 12 units with Rodriguez. They are hot, 15-6 last 21, 7 games over 500 now as they try to make the playoffs.
Okay. Very good. The thing with Sagano is the underlying numbers are not great, and people have been expecting regression from him the entire year. Hasn't really happened too much. That game was a dead under, by the way, in his last start at home against, was it the White Sox? 3-1, I think the final was in that spot. So,
Money on the Red Sox now, too.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. Sandoval up to minus 150. The White Sox are bad on the road. And as you pointed out, Martin, who got off to such a great start, it's been last 10 starts, he's got an ERA of almost 6.
Yeah.
And how do you go against a team that's on a 23-3 run?
No, I agree.
Maybe it doesn't come. Oh, regression's coming. They're going to cool off. Maybe they don't. Maybe they keep this going. They're so good.
Looks like you can find about $1.40 still. Boy, it's way above that at some spots. But South Point out here looks like they're about $1.40 looking on the VSiN odd screen right now. That's the best number, along with Circo appears to be the same number as well. I'll tell you, this, you know what? Maybe it's a, this is going to qualify as a stinky line, isn't it?
The red line?
You know what? The Reds game just started, too. Is rat anything happened? It's $1.26 it got down to.
Wow.
You're right. Rat line.
Minus 150 in play, so nothing. They must be coming up on the bottom of the first. Yeah, that's.
They are.
I don't care how well, Ginn's been okay, whatever. It's just,
sure.
You're 9-31 in your last 40. Come on.
$1.26 is where they close, the way it looks at Boomers and maybe a couple of other spots out here as well. Yikes. Here's another one, too. I didn't bet it, and they have 2 runners on. Boy, this is going to be something to watch with the national numbers. They, at BetMGM, the Phillies closed at as a 350 favorite. Now, Wood got dinged up yesterday.
And they changed pitchers. It was supposed to be Littell. It's Palmquist.
Yeah.
But come on, 350.
So you might be able to get some good. By the way, all year long they've been one of the best first 5 number teams in the entire league. So that was an inflated number in the first 5 against the Phillies today as well. I don't know. That's something I'm going to want to track. First of all, the results have been bad now for the last 6 games. They're not scoring runs. Again, you documented this in win-lose, 3 runs right away last night. Stayed under their team total terrible. 3.5. That's a crushing beat. But that's a team I want to keep an eye on. I want to see that. That's a really insane number. 350, that's, you don't talk about all over the map. They closed at 260 the way it looks at, if the odd screen here is accurate. 260 at Caesars, but 350 at BetMGM. Not often can you find the favorite at minus 260 at one national book and the dog at plus 260.
Funny, yeah, that's funny you bring that up, and you also mentioned Avella. When Avella was at Wynn, you had that crazy run when we were still doing the shows at the South Point where some high roller got hot, and he was just betting favorites, and you would see that big disparity in the numbers.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
What he was doing. And a guy was betting chalk, and they'd be sky high on the lines because this guy was doing so well. Hunter Brown's, these will be going on while we get on the air tomorrow. Hunter Brown's $1.30 against Cease tomorrow. And Imanaga's $1.25 against Lauer.
Is he really?
Ooh.
Mm.
I don't know. Even though I can't go $1.30 with Brown. And Nick Martinez is $1.60 against Sagano. I like Nick a lot. But this kid's been great.
He's having a great year. And by the way, just like that, the Phillies with a run. So immediately, the pitching change from Littell to Palmquist not going well.
There's got to be ducks on the pond, too. They're $8 in play.
They got at least 2. I'm looking right now. They have at least 2 runners on the way it looks. Okay. Fun show today. Will Hill joined us in studio. We had Spencer Aguiar join the program, second appearance overall. Last week came on to talk PGA and gave out a winner with Thorbjørnsen at 45-1. And then Derek Stevens, if you miss it, any of it, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast. Stay tuned. VSiN Prime Time is next. Tim Murray, Matt Eumanns will take you through the entire live betting evening that we have in Major League Baseball. Plenty of college football as well. Wake up tomorrow morning early with VSiN by the books at 7 a.m. Eastern, followed by a numbers game at 10 a.m. Good luck, everybody, with the bets tonight.